Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Speaking of no more, we gonna have no more Walmart after April the 3rd, April 2nd or 3rd, man.
Say it
shutting
ain't
it down,
so.
Brother.
Say it ain't so.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Who does that? Who shuts a Walmart down? Unless they're going to build a bigger one.
Nope. That's pretty bad.
Who does that, man?
That's a lot of jobs, too, isn't it?
That's gloom and doom, that, brother.
All those jobs and...
Probably at least 200 jobs, man.
Man, we got to create our own. That's what I keep saying. We got to create our own.
You still ain't there opening up.
Huh?
You still ain't there opening up.
Right. I didn't open up the Walmart.
Yeah, put Gateway Grocery in there.
Hey, I like that. I like that, Joe. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I like that. I like
still
that.
Saying, but don't complain about what you have the power to change. Words to live by.
Yeah, man. How you guys doing tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brother Faria Radio Show. I'm talking to you live from Greatest Country Cooking down here in Waynesboro. You know, I'm waiting on some food here. Had a couple of guys down here from the Lion King Jr. We had a meeting today with the local press. They're doing some story on my guys here, the guys that did the Lion King Jr. play. And we have renewed our contract with Disney for another year to do it at play. So many people calling us, wanting us to come to their hometowns and do this play. And I can assure you, I don't know whether you guys, how often do you see it? Prince, I'm talking about Prince, the guy that did Lady Cab Driver. How often do you see a Prince? How often do you see a Michael Jackson? How often do you see a Whitney Houston? I'm telling you, man, we have about 10, I hate to put a number on it, that caliber of talent in this play, in this from this one small town. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. But anyway.
But you know what, Leon?
We're excited. Yes, sir.
You know, this is, it's really, that's an example of what actually takes place throughout the country. We have this talent in our community, and what is incumbent upon us as the adults and the leaders is to discover them, provide them a platform to ply their trade and show their skills. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. right now, because some of the we're lacking some of the tools in our community, forces that are not working in our best interest will go discover that talent and put it to bad use instead of good use. And
right.
so once
right.
again, that it becomes incumbent upon us to take the bull by the horns, grab our youth, point them in the right direction, and make sure that talent is used for good and that it's not exploited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got one of the guys here, man. The guy that played Simba.
Mm-hmm.
He played Simba, but it turns out the guy who he played adult Simba, and it turns out the guy who played young Simba came to the play on opening night with a fever of 102.
Gracious.
Well, this guy had to step in and do his part and the other guy's part. And he did not miss a cue, did not miss a line, did not miss a beat. It's just amazing.
He didn't have to do them at the same time. He didn't have to do them at the same time, did he?
Well, okay, it just so happens he didn't. Because he transitioned, the younger guy was going to transition into his part. So
right.
he just had to play himself twice.
As an older Simba.
Yeah, he went from younger Simba to older Simba right before our very eyes on opening night. Now, this happened on opening night where everybody has the jitters. But anyway, he's standing right here in front of me. I don't know what you can ask him, Robert, but I want you guys, Joseph, you there too?
Joseph,
yeah, I'm here. Yeah, Joseph's here too. Hey, Joseph actually saw the play on that Sunday. Is that correct, Joseph?
That's correct.
Yeah, this happened on Sunday night. But this guy was. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys talk to him a little bit. You got a minute? You got a minute to talk to my brother's man? You on the radio show here, bro? Okay, this is Jaden Tillman. Okay? And you guys have a little conversation with him right quick. Here you go.
How you doing, Jaden?
Hello.
How you doing, Jaden?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Hello, Jaden.
Jaden.
You have a good day in school today?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. Well, I want to start out by this complimenting you on the fantastic job you did on that Lion King play. You did an outstanding job, Based on that performance, I believe you have a great future ahead of you, you know, in whatever you decide to do. Because
yes,
you displayed some very unusual talent from the performance that I saw. You displayed some very unusual talent. What grade are you in?
Fifth grade. Yes, sir.
What's your favorite subject in school?
I think my favorite subject would be science.
Science? Oh, that's a good one.
Very good. A little engineer.
Sir?
Yeah. That's a real
engineer in the work. Yeah, that's a good feel.
Right. Well, tell us a little more about yourself.
About 10 years
sir?
Old.
Yes, sir.
I said, tell us a little more about yourself.
Well, I like all different kinds of sports, and I just like doing the play. All I have to do is like when I go out in the audience, just don't think about people, what they think of you, and like actually like don't pay attention to the audience. Just look up and keep doing your act. And once you're out there for these 3 minutes, you get to hang on to it, and then you just do your thing.
Wow.
Wow.
That's an artist there.
That's pretty much the same way I do in my business. I don't really think about it. I just go out there and do what I'm supposed to do. And wow, that's very mature for a young person your age to really think like that. That's great. I can see why you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you, Jaden. Now, you did these two parts. you did Little Simba and I guess Big Simba. I haven't seen the play. I'm ashamed to admit. But what is it that made you study the second role, even though that wasn't part of what you were supposed to do?
Could you repeat that question, please?
Now, you played two roles in the play, right? You played... Now, did you study for both roles, or did you just learn it by just listening to the other person when you all were practicing?
When I first got into the play, they were doing it several months before I got in. And Mr. Leon, he gave me a book and told me go home and study it. And I just kept reading it and reading it over and over, and I was able to memorize the words. Because at first, I was the understudy for Young Simba. That's what Ms. Hosley told me to do. And so I had his lines down packed. And then from watching the rehearsal, I learned Adult Simba's lines. And then that's when they told me that I was going to play Adult Simba. And then that's when I got really happy, and then I became Adult Simba.
Well, young man, I just want to tell you, you have really articulated something that even us adults, we can learn from. What that really means is that opportunity comes and you have to be prepared. And you were prepared when the opportunity presented itself. And that's a good lesson in life. Just be ready when the opportunity comes and you will be successful. Very good. Very good lesson.
Yeah, that was good, Robert. That was a good question, too, because, you know, a lot of times we do just enough to get by.
That's
and
right.
One of the things about becoming great is you go beyond what you've been assigned to do. Even when it comes to the classroom, a lot of times we have people who even would get degrees, but they only learn what they were assigned to learn. But a lot of times the people who get great or become great, they go beyond what they've been assigned in the classroom, and they actually start learning things they want to learn. And when
you
do that, and then you can become, whether you're on a job or whether you're in school, you don't just learn what you've been assigned to learn. You try to learn everybody's job. When you do that, you become very valuable, the same way you became valuable for this particular program. And we love you for that, and you just keep up that great work. You have the right attitude.
He has an excellent attitude, and he's very articulate. And I can attest to what he just said. Because on my first job out of college, I had somewhat of a low-paying job. But what I did was, from the desk I was sitting at, I learned everybody's job in that plant. And when the opportunity came for when they needed a supervisor for the night shift, well, I was the only choice they had because I was the only person in the building who knew how to do everybody's job.
Yes, sir.
That worked. Yeah. That worked.
That's right. Jaden gonna teach us all a thing or two today. I hope the adults and the young people are listening. There's an old saying that you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach. And Jaden is he's actually exemplifying that today. So I suggest that lesson and go forward. Indeed.
You're teaching a lot of people something. One other thing I want to say to you before you leave from a ministerial perspective, because I'm Reverend Curtis Gatewood. And one thing that Jesus said to all the adults, he said, if you will humble yourself as these little ones, then you can become the greatest in the kingdom. He said the greatest in the kingdom will be those who are like yourself, who are humble, who are willing to learn, who are some of the youngest within our leadership, because I consider you a leader. And then those are the ones that Jesus said will be the greatest in the kingdom. So you just keep being great. You keep being humble. Keep learning. And I'm telling you, the sky is the limit for you. You're headed for greatness. But just keep walking humbly. And listening
yes,
to
sir.
Your parents and having great people around you like my brother and other people, and I'm telling you, you're going to be just fine. And I'm going to look forward to talking to you soon.
Amen, amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give the phone back to Mr. Leon.
All right, Jane, thanks a lot, man. Thanks. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, great talking to you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man, I think Jane has humbled all of us today. Just hearing him and his approach to life at such an early age, it's remarkable.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
You guys are something, man. I'm just, we had, like I say, we had the cast to come back together for the first time since we did the play about 2 weeks ago. And they just running and hugging each other and crying all over again and laughing and playing and hugging me and hugging. Man, it was just amazing. Anyway, man, yeah, this is good stuff. But like I said, we're going to do the play again. We plan on doing it again April 26th in Tirol, going back to Tirol. And then we're going to do it a couple more times. We're planning on doing it on the campus of Livingstone College before the end of the semester.
Oh, that'd be great.
And, oh, yeah. So we're really excited, man. We're going to give these young people all the exposure they need and deserve, you know. Getting bad exposure. Yes, sir.
Man, I just really want to say something to the adults who are listening now, because, see, mm-hmm. I believe in teaching ministry when we can, as Joseph and I talked about, connecting the dots. A lot of times people mm-hmm. do not talk about the scriptures unless they're in Bible study, Sunday school, or at the pulpit. And mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't take the opportunity to connect. And I'm just saying to the adults, Jesus said this. He said, unless you humble yourself as this child, you will never get into the kingdom. And see, we become adults and we become arrogant. We have our hidden agendas and so on and so forth. And a lot of times we can corrupt a young child who's headed toward greatness, because sometimes due to our own arrogance and ignorance. So I'm just saying to all adults, and myself included, when we hear a young person like that, we need to remember what Jesus said about making sure we can humble ourselves. A lot of times we think we're always supposed to be the teacher, like Rob was saying. You're never too young to be the teacher. We think we have to be the ones in control. We think we have to be the ones giving the discipline. We think we have to be the ones giving the lesson. But we have to remember, when we run into a child who has not been corrupted, we need to look at that child, and we need to learn from that child.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
And I'm learning so much from these children. It's amazing. Anyway, yeah, it's a beautiful thing, guys. It's a beautiful thing. You guys, we're gonna move into another conversation right here. Super Tuesday just happened. I saw an interesting post from the brother Curtis over there. It's anyway, I know how to get that conversation started. You know, Biden, you know, I heard one of the guys on Good Morning America use an interesting analogy, is that Biden is not a comeback kid. It's just a Lazarus. He was dead till he went down to South Carolina, and the homeboys got a hold to him down there. What's that guy down there?
I want to take a few minutes if you don't mind. I just want to, again, a teachable moment here is this demonstrated, South Carolina demonstrated, if we didn't already know, the power of the black vote. There is power in the black vote. And if you do not believe there's power in the black vote, you ask Pete Buttigieg. You ask Amy Klobuchar. You ask this gentleman, Bloomberg. You ask all of them. There is power, even Bernie Sanders. He's understanding the power in the black vote. And what I want politicians to do, to understand that with such power, we can't keep bailing out politicians whose candidacy is dying, and then they not do anything to do for black people whose people are dying. So we need the politicians to understand, if you're going to keep depending on the black vote to save you, it's time for you to understand to use the power that the black folk have given you to save some black people.
Hey, man. Let me find my...
If you look at the history of the black electorate, like I said earlier, we've always had to choose between the lesser of two evils. That's just a given.
Yeah.
We've always had to do that. But what black people, to me, they are more politically astute than, say, our white counterparts. So just like, for example, the New Deal that, you know, Roosevelt came up with. Now, Roosevelt didn't come up with his New Deal to save black people. His New Deal was to save suffering white people that were suffering so bad after that Great Depression. And of course, and black people kind of just got on to the bandwagon with the Democrats because, well, the Democrats had something for them. Regardless of whether for black people, whether for white people, but this is what we need also. And because you keep in mind, up to before 1948, the black people pretty much were still Republicans. But when Harry Truman put civil rights on the platform of the Democratic platform, that's when black people started to transition over to the Democrat Party.
And so
we have not received 100% parity with our white counterparts, and I don't know if we ever will in our lifetime. But from a political perspective, black people have pretty much voted their interest better than any other group. And you can even though we're not where we need to be, but God knows we ain't where we used to be.
But you know what, Joe, this is I think something that all black people should be aware of and cognizant to is that Lee Atwater let the cat out of the bag when he made his speech about the Southern strategy and how they would create these rules that would disproportionately hurt blacks. What he didn't say, but was implied, that they also disproportionately benefit whites. And so when we're looking at the political landscape, we have to always, I don't mean sometimes or when we feel like it, always bear in mind that when people bring these Trojan horses into our neighborhood, when they bring up these bring these shiny objects in front of us, you have to always remember what these guys' overall strategy is. It's always, whether it's voter suppression, whether it's tax breaks for the rich, whether it's redlining, their main strategy of the racists, whether it's overt or covert, is to disproportionately hurt blacks and disproportionately benefit whites. And it's all a matter of degree. So we have to look at these candidates and run them through that prism. How much are you going to disproportionately hurt us, and how much are you going to disproportionately benefit yourself? And I think when you run it through that filter, it becomes clear on who you should support.
Right.
Yeah. And I think in addition to that, I think we as black people, when you see the power of our vote, and it's growing, it's not deteriorating, America's becoming blacker and browner. So
yes,
it's actually growing. And so with that power, and as it grows, I think we should be at the table clearly making a platform or laying out an agenda that would lessen the evilness of what we have to choose between. Because right now, Joseph is correct. Actually, you know, he's right. It's always been choosing between the lesser of the two evils. And unfortunately, it has gotten very ugly and evil for us. And depending on what particular point we are in history, right now it's very ugly, because you have someone like Donald Trump, who had been so openly and blatant in embracing white nationalism, white supremacy, tax breaks for the rich. Now he's still, even to this day, trying to use the black president to blame everything on, as he lies about everything that comes up. I was wondering how he was going to get the coronavirus into Obama, but he hasn't managed to do that today. He blamed something on Obama about some type of thing that they didn't prepare for, so he had to go back and do it in order to save us and prepare us for this, You know, so he's working on every evil way to dehumanize blackness and elevate whiteness. So we have to be cognizant of that, and we can't sell ourselves short by saying just something better than Trump will do. That's the problem that I'm seeing. We cannot settle for something just better than Trump. We want justice, and we must always use the measuring stick for justice. As Dr. King talked about, the ultimate measure of man is where we stand during the time of comfort, not where we stand in comfort and convenience. It's easy to be comfortable and say, well, we'll get just enough to remain comfortable. In the time of challenge and controversy, that's the time we really have to stand, even when it's not popular, even when people don't understand it, even when it's out of season, we still have to push and push until we keep the banner of justice raised very high.
Hey, man. Hey, let me make a quick comment.
You know, you mentioned how Trump always wants to blame former President Obama for everything. Of course, and see, that's the thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump hates Barack Obama. Plain and simple. That's the only reason he ran for president, because Donald Trump felt that if a black man can be president, the low-down, dirtiest, sorry scoundrel of a white man should be able to be the president.
Absolutely.
So that was his motivation to run. And of course, Obama had to pick a running mate. And of course, he chose Biden. And of course, I didn't agree with 100% of everything that President Obama did. You're never going to be 100% on board with anybody. But fact that Obama put enough trust in Joseph Biden for him to be his vice president, and regardless of what you say about his past or whatever he's done or whatever he didn't do, but the one thing I do know he did, he was a very loyal vice president. And to me, that was the only thing that I could see where he was any different from the rest of these guys. Because, see, I don't know what Bernie Sanders, I don't know nothing about Bernie Sanders. I don't know about what Bernie Sanders, but what Bernie Sanders says. And Elizabeth Warren, Klobuchar, and Buttigieg, and all the rest of them, I don't know nothing about these people. But what I'm saying is I do somewhat through Barack Obama, because Barack Obama is a dark-skinned man, and I'm a dark-skinned man, even though it shouldn't matter in America, but it does. And because of the relationship he had with Biden, that gives me somewhat of a vicarious relationship with Biden. So, but we still have to hold the politicians to the fire. And, of course, we got to realize, too, we can't just rely on the president to do everything. We got to make sure we get a Congress. We got to make sure we get a Senate. And because all three of these working in tandem, perhaps we can make the whole country better, not just for black people, but better for everybody. Because white folks, poor white folks, suffering also. And I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to go. But,
go ahead, Joe.
But as far as politics are concerned, I just wish at some point we'll be able to get as enthused about black people coming together to support black businesses as they are to come together to support a political candidate.
Right. Absolutely.
That's good stuff, Joe.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Joe Biden, and I think one thing that is very interesting is that there was a syndicated columnist, Charles Blow, wrote an article called The Lowest White Man. And he based that column on a statement made by former President Lyndon Baines Johnson. He said, and it's also what kind of drives some of the people that vote for Trump. And he said, if you can get the lowest white man to believe that he's better than the best colored man, then he won't know that you're picking his pocket. He went further to say, hell, you give him somebody to look down on, he would empty his pockets for you. And so that is a truism that nests itself throughout the Trump base. Now, we also bring ourselves back up to the current. and we have this, I don't want to say a purity test, but black people, like Curtis said, we are faced with a dilemma. We can't just say somebody just because they're not Trump, they're worthy of our vote. But the challenge is we have to make a calculated decision. Who can we put in the White House that we can work with? Lyndon Baines Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson was not a civil rights advocate by nature. He was from the Southern South, from the state of Texas. But he was coerced. He was pushed. He was moved by people who just held his feet to the fire. You can't hold Donald Trump's foot to the fire. I don't care how much fire you have. But you can, if we look at the candidates we have to choose from, who can we work with? Who among the group can we work with and get them to at least move in our direction? I think that's the decision that we as black people have to make as we get ready for this upcoming election.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I want to just say this, too, as we get ready to move on, that, you know, we I'm just saying I'm thankful to God that, you know, God uses people for different reasons. We don't even know why sometimes. Just like the Lyndon Baines Johnson scenario, for example. We didn't know why Johnson ended up being president. No one wanted Johnson. Johnson came behind a very popular president and ended up passing more than that president probably ever dreamed of in the form of civil rights. And just like Elizabeth Warren, I mean, she went through, I know she had a terrible night. She had a terrible night. But God gave her an assignment. She shut down Bloomberg. And that was her assignment. Because had it not been for her shutting down Bloomberg, we don't know where this thing would be. And God has empowered, you know, certain people to do certain things.
If that was her job, boy, she needs a raise because she...
She did. Because that was a very dangerous thing that he was doing. Because, see, one thing we had to look at, too, Robert, is we can't just look at president. We have to look at precedent. And if this guy would have just been able to come in and buy this election without any limits, just being able to use his money, and had he been able to do that, democracy would flush down the commode but instead he flushed $500 million down the commode.
Hey, let me just make a quick announcement. If anybody's on the line who's listening, we have a couple of folks listening. If you want to ask a question or join the conversation, just press the number 1 on your keypad on your phone or desktop, and that'll put you in the that'll let us know you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you online. Otherwise, we'll just let you enjoy the conversation. Just enjoy listening. Go ahead, guys. Oh, we do have somebody. Hold on 1 second. We have Brenda on the line. Brenda, welcome to the Brothers for Real. What's your comment or question?
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
Brenda. Is that Brenda Richardson? Is that Brenda Richardson?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Hello, Brenda.
Welcome to the Brothers for Real, up in the house, like Martin say, in the house.
Okay, I have a comment.
Okay.
I have a comment. I talked to Leon about it when it was happening. Charlotte, North Carolina, started a new system here. And for a lot of people that wouldn't know how to read and to follow instruction, it would be hard for them to vote. To get the right vote, one they want to do. They put in a system that is like you have to do a lot of things than what you normally do. You have to take answer your question and then make sure you hit finish. And when you hit finish, you got to make sure you print it. And when you print it, you got to take it somewhere else.
Gracious.
And then put it in a box. You should know that is the new system they have.
Is that for every all the votes, local and national? That's for everything?
No, I know here in Charlotte. I know Waysburg do not have that. I don't know if the rest of the counties have and the voting machines and everything. But to me, that was like a tactic to confuse a lot of us.
Right.
If you don't follow instruction, you're not good in following instruction. You're going to screw up on that ballot. And
yeah.
I'm like, I kind of question that. I'm like, why would you do it on now? When it's president.
How long?
How long
did that take? Wow. That sounds like something we need to look into. It really does.
Yeah,
because
they waited to now to do it. Why didn't they do it on the other primary and all that to get people used to this? And it was done this time, and I'm like, I didn't have a problem doing it, but I know with me being in the school system, and I know I'm dealing with a lot of parents that doesn't follow instruction well or do not. And I'm like, that would be hard for them.
That's hard for
us. We need to really look at that. And the reason why I say that is another thing that we have to look at when it comes to voting rights. People do not just have to tell you can't vote because you're black or you can't vote. That's denying your vote. But the Constitution also speaks to abridging or an abridgment, making it more difficult. Making it, it might not be an outright denial, but, you know, if you have done your systematically made sure that a certain population of people will have a more difficult time to do certain things depending on how you systematically miseducated or not provided education to an extent and made it more difficult for a disproportionate or disparate amount of people of color or young people or older people. Or, you know, anything that's like that could go into any category that would have a disparate impact, then it could cause that particular group of people to be less successful in just doing something that's very simple, is voting. And it shouldn't be complicated. It should be, it's another form of voter suppression. So
it
really
what,
need to be
that's
looked at.
Exactly
and,
what I thought.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, you're trying to confuse a lot of people.
Yeah, it shouldn't
be
hard at all.
And I'm like,
I know when we went
and
in and voted,
you pull it out.
When we went in and voted, it was very easy. All you had to do is sign up, get the ballot, go down the list, check, and put it into the computer. That should have been the end of it. I don't know. Yeah, definitely need to look into that, Sister Richardson, and probably to talk more once we get off the phone.
Well, hang on there, Sister.
That's
hang on there, Sister Richardson.
Go ahead,
hey, Sister
sorry.
Richardson and Curtis and Joseph. Hang on, we got another caller on the line. Pianke, welcome to the Brothers for Real, and please make your question and comment. Welcome to the show.
I was going to ask a question
about
a Walmart store closing. It must be a very, very depressed area for Walmart. Either Walmart or McDonald's restaurant. So I was wondering, what state is this in? And, you know,
good
this voter suppression goes on. Voter suppression goes on. You know, I supported and voted for Donald Trump. But voter suppression goes on in these Democratic strongholds, too. And I'm going to tell you how it happens. And when you go to the poll and you have your ballot in your hand, those poll workers will snatch that ballot out of your hand and put their slate for you to vote for. And I've seen and witnessed that a lot of times. And another point, illegals are able to buy homes using their I-10, individual tax identification number. It's a number that the IRS issues to those immigrants who can't get Social Security cards. Okay, and they undocumented. All right, you got several banks that have been doing this, Bank of America and Citibank, the name too. When they sign the closing on those papers on that house, they can take those closing papers to the voter registration in the district where that house is located, and they can register to vote. And they also get credit card, and they're not documented. And we're talking about billion-dollar industry. So I wonder what your comment on those 3 points. I'm listening.
That I've seen on voter suppression and actual cases of voter suppression are virtually probably the chance of voter suppression coming from the poor or the less powerful in the way that you're describing is probably you probably have a better chance of being struck by lightning twice than to have voter suppression coming from the people who are being disenfranchised, such as poor people or African American people. Usually voter suppression would come from the people with power who can control systems. And so there has been this false argument about voter fraud from poor people or black people, but there's nothing to prove it. So if you give us some on that, then,
on your point real quick before you go to the next one, please. I have seen this in the Normandy district in St. Louis County. You have a powerful Democratic committee woman. And yes, that does go on. And also, I just told you how the fraud goes on with these non-documented people who use their I-10 number to get mortgages. Once they sign the mortgage paper, they have the promissory note and the other things that show that they live at that address. They can go register to vote. They are undocumented. They are illegally in the country. You can Google that and bring it up. Undocumented buy mortgages with I-10.
Well,
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I got a question. How many people you think are doing that? Add those numbers up.
We're talking about billions of dollars worth of loans, sir. When Bank of America is into it, and Citi, CITI, and they issue credit cards too, and the article tell you how much they're talking about. They ain't talking about no half a dozen or a dozen. They're talking about some $1 billion worth of home mortgages.
Let me ask you a question then. If these people are working and paying taxes, what's the problem?
They're not supposed to be working in the country if they're here illegal.
But they are working. They are working because if they're not working, they can't get along.
Well,
if they're working and paying taxes, what's the problem?
As I say, they aren't supposed. They don't have a Social Security number.
Pardon me?
They don't have. Well, you asked me that 3 times. Now, can I answer?
Okay, answer the question then.
I'm answering the question for the 5th time you asked that question. They are here illegally. And you, also, we talk about how blacks have difficult time getting home mortgages, but they can get a loan for a car. You should be up in arms over that. What's the problem with that?
I do have a problem.
That's a different issue. We'll probably be on that.
Well, look, anyway, I just put those out there. Y'all can talk over. What state was it that Walmart closed? Because somebody tell me.
Trump, so obviously you're a Trump supporter. So what's Trump doing about it to stop it?
Listen, I vote for my people of my interest.
Well, you say it's
and
Trump.
Those
well,
that
what's
share
Trump
my
doing
values.
About the problem bringing up? Trump is the president,
well,
so what are you doing about it?
He should be bringing it to the DOJ. It's illegally.
Well, Trump is in charge of the Department of Justice also.
Regardless of that, they should bring it up. It should be brought to the DOJ. But here's the thing. If these undocumented are having such an easy time of getting home loans and blacks have
Trump
such a difficult time, it should be a problem.
But you know what?
A person that you call an illegal, Trump is just as illegal, if not more illegal, than the person you keep referring to as illegal. They're just poor. Trump is illegal. He's a racist. He's a white nationalist. He's corrupt. So I don't understand why, if you have a problem with people who you call illegal.
Well, come on. Khalid Muhammad was a racist, too, listen to what he say.
And he's a thief, and he hadn't shown his taxes. So far as I'm concerned, he's undocumented.
He doesn't have to show that. What state did this Walmart close in? Could somebody tell me?
Okay, yeah, talk about Walmart then.
It was in North Carolina, Anson County.
Waynesboro, North Carolina.
Hey, you have a state there, Warren County, North Carolina. You have a city there that was called Soul City that Nixon built back in the, during his time. Did blacks ever move into that community?
Man, you're going back too far. I wouldn't even move.
Racist, like Jesse Hill, made sure that the project was
defunded. All right, and finally, I'm going to put it like this. All blacks are not the same. You got those who think one way, those who think another, and that's something you got to deal with. Anyway,
of
you
course,
guys have a nice day. Thank you.
Yeah, we're four brothers, and we don't even think the same. We're four brothers on this radio show, and we don't think the same. But we have open minds to listen to each other's ideas, and that's how we make each other better.
Right.
Could I ask another question? Why is Walmart closing in Waynesboro when we are losing jobs there?
Can I answer that question?
Go ahead, because I don't understand that, especially with the time. It's nothing to do in Walmart, and everybody now just go to Walmart. Now it's closing. Losing jobs.
Can I answer that question?
Go ahead,
Joseph.
Yes,
sir. I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to tell you what I said when they first built that Walmart in Waynesboro. Of course, you need places to buy food and clothes and things of this nature. But if you look at Anson County, the entire population of Anson County is not about somewhere between 25 and 27,000 people. And Anson County, the land area, is larger than Mecklenburg County. The population of Waynesboro is only about 5,000. And those are the only people that's really in close proximity to that Waynesboro, when they first opened that Walmart, personally, I was glad to see it open, and I was glad for it to be there, but I just didn't see where Waynesboro had the population to sustain a retail facility that large. I just didn't see it. So from my personal perspective, that Walmart stayed open longer than I thought it would. That's just my take on it. Because I never saw where Waynesboro, with a population of 5,000 people, being able to sustain a facility that size. And then, of course, like Leon was telling me today, they got Dollar General popping up all over the place. And seeing most retail places like that, their profit margin is no more than about 3 to 5%. So if you lose 3% of your you lose 3% of your clientele to where like a Dollar General or 1% for that matter, you're pretty much out of business, especially when you don't have a lot of population to sustain that facility to start with.
Let me tell you what I
Dollar Generals, listen to me right quick. We got $3 generals in Waynesboro and two Family Dollars. And let me tell you something. Walmart is not a charity. They don't care whether you think they need it or not. Walmart is there to make money. When they stop making money, just like everybody else, they're gone. People keep asking me, why are they putting so many of these little gambling places in this town and they don't have other places, some more places to eat or buy groceries? Because the people with the gambling places are here to make money. They don't care whether you got groceries or not. They don't care whether you got schools or not. They're here to make money.
And
that's
like,
right.
Like you say, Liam,
Walmart
who is this?
Here to make money, and when all these Dollar Generals start popping up, they started losing money. People think Walmart's invincible. Walmart is not invincible. That's why Walmart started putting these little smaller Walmarts in certain places like Charlotte and dropping them in different communities. They were doing it because they were getting hurt by things like Dollar General and Family Dollar.
Right.
So
and
now,
right.
In a town like Waynesboro, they don't have any choices. I mean, like we were talking this morning, Joe, Walmart's around.
That's right. They surround it.
You can't get into them because you got one in Polkman, you got one in Marvin. Well, Family Dollar in Marvin. You got a Dollar General in Lyleville. You got a Dollar General in Waynesboro and a Family Dollar. Walmart's stuck.
Leon.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Let me speak to the family 1 minute on this issue about Walmart.
Yes, sir.
Let's look at this maybe as an opportunity. And let's assess our community. This could be
there could be an assessment of needs where you may not need a Walmart, you might need a Y'all's Mart. Y'all might need to open something that can replace what the Walton family, trillionaires almost, have been doing all around the country. They've been putting up these Walmarts. They're not paying people right. They are getting money. They're not.
Right.
If you'll notice, if you go into a Walmart, chances are, even though they're going to have about 20 cash registers, only two of them probably be open. Nobody's
right
out there to help you when you need something. They are making billions of dollars while paying people minimum wages, not even living wages. So I don't care if all of them close.
But, Kurt, where are we going to get some fresh cucumbers?
Man, y'all got to do it, man. You ain't got to depend on them. Think about it. Black folk, that was a time where black folk could not go to Walmart. I'm not saying we need to go back to that extreme, but somebody in Waveboro needs to sell fresh cucumbers. Somebody needs to figure out, black folk need to start thinking about how we can capitalize off our needs. Or how can we assess our own needs in our community? Okay, look at what we need in our community. Do we need to sell clothes? Well, somebody needs to open up a clothing store that look like us. Do we need to sell fresh vegetables? Somebody in our community needs to open up a place that sells fresh vegetables. We keep allowing the same people who are robbing us, discriminating against us, not giving us a livable wage, treating us badly, and keep depending on them to get us a job.
Let me tell you what Walmart.
I didn't know they were doing all of that.
This is what Walmart
said.
Go ahead, brother.
I do not shop at Walmart because of their bad customer service. I do not go in. I usually don't go in Walmart because they do have bad customer service. And the reason I spoke on that, because I'm thinking about the people, the children. Like you said, they should start something. They can start a business that have all of that merchandise that Walmart carries. But I was thinking about, because with the crime rate, what it is in Waysboro right now, with the crime rate, with the kids having nothing to do. And see, that's what I'm looking, because we're losing life. I know Walmart is like that, but right now that's the only outlet that they have. And we're having a lot of people dying down there because they don't have nothing to do and they're not bringing nothing in. We have people that don't want to venture out to start something. They don't have the mindset. Like Joseph said, there's 5,000 people there in Waverly. But the point is, a lot of them are not. I'm not. All of them not. Some of them have education. Some of them do not. They can't read. They can't do these things. And so Walmart was their outlet. And with that gun and the children, and you got people killed. I'm like, they crime rate just as high as Charlotte in their small city, a town. I don't. That's the only thing I say about Walmart, because I don't shop at Walmart. I do not like their customer service. So all I'm thinking about is the children. That's what I'm thinking on the children.
Well, what you're thinking about, you're thinking about the immediate needs, which is nothing wrong with that. You're thinking about the short-term needs of what they were providing. I'm just saying we need to prop. Sometimes it takes it would take a hard, I would say, reduction in our immediate needs in order for us to look after our immediate and long-term needs. And in a long-term need, we probably need to do something that would help to replace that void through our needs by trying to do something on our own. But immediately,
correct,
I understand what you're saying. So we have to serve both needs. So I do understand where you're coming from.
I'm tired of hearing about our young kids getting killed down there.
Hamilton County has a history of not being conducive to new businesses coming to that area. And that's why Anson County, over the years, instead of Anson County's population increasing, and it had been decreasing. Just like, for example, right now, the population in Anson County in 1920 the population in Nelson County was higher than it is right now. When I was in high school in Nelson County, the population in Nelson County was higher than it is right now. But see, Nelson County has a history of not being conducive to new businesses. Just to give you a small example, I wanted to open up an insurance office in Nelson County, but I could not find a place in Nelson County to rent that would justify me opening an office there because the rent was so high. And just like I talked to one person, I said, why would I pay this kind of rent in Nelson County and I'm paying the same amount in Charlotte? And Charlotte got 1 million people and y'all got 5,000. I said, that don't make sense to me. I said, I would have to sell insurance to everybody in Nelson County to pay the rent. And I know I couldn't do that. So, but what I'm saying is, just like, for example, years ago, they wanted to bring a Coors plant in Nelson County. If they'd have brought that Coors plant in Nelson County probably would have been something like even at least Monroe or Salisbury by now. See, Nelson County is older than Mecklenburg County. Matter of fact, Mecklenburg County used to be a part of Nelson County. But it's just the leadership in Nelson County that has kept Nelson County suppressed for years, and look, they're going to continue to do so.
And that is true, Joseph, because I have a friend that stayed in Waynesboro, and that friend is a white person, and their friend said their father, their family do not want anything to come in Waynesboro, and they are doing everything that they can to keep Waynesboro like it is. And I asked him, why. He said, because that would bring too many people to Anson County. So if they keep it like it is, nobody wants to come to Anson County.
Right.
And see, like I said, he said, well, you got to wait till they die out. I was like, but that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be, because you got money and you can do things and you cause people to do this, because you don't want this to come in Anson County. You want to keep it just like it is. I don't get that.
Let me tell you about Walmart. Walmart plans to close 150 stores in the next 5 months. They also plan to close 50 Sam's stores. Now, this is a financial decision by Walmart. Like Leon said, they're not a charity. They're not a nonprofit organization. But this is where government should step in and do what they have to do to keep these types of stores in the community if we want to use them as a source of jobs. Now, the reason that Walmart says it's closing these stores, they said it was financial performance and a strategic alignment with their long-term plans. In other words, they're trying to compete against places like Amazon Prime, and many of these companies like Walmart and Amazon, they're moving their facilities online. They're really not interested in having to deal with 200 employees, people showing up late, people calling in sick, people doing this, that, and the other. These are regular things that a company has to endure when they hire people. But online, many of those issues just go away. Now, they have other issues like security and hackers and so forth, but they can do the same job with about a fraction of the staff. So that's the kind of we as a society. Waynesboro is a microcosm of what's happening across the country, and that's why voting matters. Voting matters.
Wow. Well, guys, there you have it. We discussed Walmart, discussed Super Tuesday. There's just so much to talk about. There's just so much stuff to talk about. But like you said, you got Walmart. And we always look at Anson County as a microcosm of what a community can look like. And we're trying to make Anson County a microcosm of what a community should really look like. And it's difficult when you're not in control of the finances of a community. Until you become in control of those finances of that community, it's just not, you just don't really have control of it. You can't control the direction of your community unless you do have the control of the finances of the community. So how do we do that? That's what we're going to keep talking about. That's what we're going to keep working on. That's why we're talking. We're not talking just to get out there and talk. and talking to make come up with some solutions. Right, brothers?
Right.
Yep. Walmart is not a charity. All of these gambling halls coming up in Waynesboro are not charities. They're trying to make money. So it's up to the community to come together and make sure we put the things in our community that are beneficial to us. It's our duty. We can't depend on politicians to do it. We can't depend on civil rights leaders to do it. We have to do it ourselves.
Amen.
That's right, John. And once we realize that, we're much better off.
Because, brothers, our time is run out. It's not a real good note to end on, but maybe we'll come on a good note next year.
It was great. Great show, Leon Robert. Hey, man, y'all going to Washington?
Yeah.
You going to Washington, Leon?
You talking about for Robert to get?
Yeah.
Good thing.
All right.
All right. Let's get together.
Right,
get
it.
We can...
Let's do the thing.
All right, boys. Come on. 22nd. March 22nd.
My birthday.
Let's make it a Leon birthday party in addition to everything else. Got Daniel got a birthday. Joseph got a birthday. We're going to make it a one big party.
Yeah. All right, brothers, we're out of here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, whoever that brother was that's all in. Hey, you didn't have much time for it.
So we're